He turns the whole thing around, and the first thing he does is he opens the cover. That was important to him, wasn't it? He says that he not only opened it, but he repaired it, brought the Levites, and they started sacrificing, and so on. And he proclaimed the reason Israel was falling apart is because they were following other gods. And he has the temple repaired, cleansed, and sacrifices renewed, and he personally contributes 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep. That's a lot. This guy was serious. He loved God. He turns the entire nation of Judah around 180 degrees in a very short time from worshiping Baals to worshiping God. One person. He destroys the idols and high places. And here's a summary of Hezekiah's life from God's perspective. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in all the commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart, and he prospered. It says in 2 Kings, he trusted the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, and among all the kings of Israel. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Why is Hezekiah so different than his father Ahaz? You know, we have the saying, like father, like son. Not true here. It's true all the time, but not true here. And it talks about the word of God that the sins of the father pass on to his children.
All right, good job.
That didn't happen here. What was the difference? I think Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29:1 tells us the difference. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. You know that the mothers of the kings are mentioned very many times, I think it was 16 times, in the Old Testament history books. I think the reason that's there is they're held accountable for how their children turn out. Abijah was a godly woman married to a very ungodly king, King Ahaz. Marriages by them that weren't by mutual consent, the king took whoever he wanted. Typically the one who was prettiest. And she was the daughter of Zechariah, perhaps the prophet during the reign of King Uzziah, we don't know for sure. But Abijah influenced her son to be godly. In spite of her evil husband, Ahaz, in spite of the ungodly nation of Judah, in spite of the opportunity for her son to be a spoiled royal bride. Understandable that she had felt overwhelmed at such odds and rationalized just going with the flow. She could say, I don't have much chance. Everything's against me. But she did. She trusted God instead. And she influenced her son greatly to be consecrated to God with the whole heart. She turned the whole nation around back to God to be blessed by God because of her son's testimony and his motivation for the Lord. How did Abijah do it? What a question, isn't it? I want to address in this message the value and importance of a godly woman's influence. It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. In our nation, typically the cradle is not being rocked by mom, but by hirelings. Crime, idolatry, immorality are rampant, due in part to a lack of mother's time and influence on her children. Typical mom in our culture is more concerned about making money, being entertained, accumulating things, and looking attractive than investing in the lives of her children. I'm so thankful that we have mothers here willing to put their children's wealth before themselves. Well, mothers in the Old Testament influenced their husbands and children, thereby influencing their nation. Ezra influenced her husband for good, saving her nation and bringing honor to God. Jezebel influenced her husband to worship Baal and led Israel into idolatry. Sarah learned to believe God, shaping the beginning of Israel with faith in God. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, believed God would provide, and her faith delivered Israel. Wives and mothers, thank you for influencing your husbands, your children, those around you. God uses this as a game changer in a world dominated by Satan, rebelling against God. We've been memorizing in 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to say a verse to you, or I'm going to read it. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of your wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Husbands are influenced without a word by wives being example, like influencing to follow God. These verses underscore God's intent and priority of a woman's influence on her husband, her children, her friends, and her world. Your godly influence, sisters, is being used by God to draw people to Himself. I know that's contrary to everything you hear around you, but this is God's word. It is right. So, I will look at a woman's influence. First of all, her influence based on her dependence upon God. Her ministry, number two. Number three, her character. Number four, her appearance. And number five, her speech. First of all, a woman's influence based on her dependence on God. You know, both men and women struggle with depending on themselves rather than God. You ever had that problem? You have to choose. Sometimes it's easier to go with self because you know what self's thinking or doing. And women naturally rely on their beauty, their charm, their persuasive power, their cunning to influence others. In the flesh, that's typical. Jezebel is a prime example of the most evil way. It says about her in 1 Kings 21, "Surely it was none like Ahab, who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him." Talk about the influence of a woman. This guy was an incredibly ungodly king. And without his wife's influence, he might have been just a bad king. So a real bad, a real evil king. But anyway, she incited him. Her influence was not good. In contrast, we have Sarah's godly example. While in Egypt, Sarah was told by Abraham to say she was his sister to protect himself. And she did so, trusting in God, not Abraham, not her own cunning. 1 Peter 3 goes on to say, "For this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you will become a children if you do what is right without being frightened by the Lord." Sarah called Abraham Lord, not because he was so great. You know, he fouled up at least twice calling Sarah his sister so he could save his own neck. Now, as a wife, that'd be kind of hard to stomach, you know, saving his own life and risking mine. But he did it twice. But Sarah called him Lord, not because he was so great. She was submissive to him, knowing God would take care of her. Her faith was in God. Women do not primarily depend on your husband. His job, his spirituality, his abilities depend first of all on God. I may have some husbands talking to you later. That's what should happen, isn't it? First of all, the Lord. He's the one who can be depended upon. Sarah learned to depend on God and became an example for all believing women. Learn to depend on God more so that you can have a greater influence. It's hard to depend on God if we don't know Him well enough to trust Him. It's so important for women to have consistent private time in the Word of God, so that you as a woman can depend upon God, so you as a woman experience the personal growth and maturity found in the Word, so the Spirit of God, as the Word of God, is referenced in your life from which to guide and can convict you because you influence others. And of course, so you can teach your children to live well. Learn to be in prayer more. If you're not praying much, you're not praying more much. I remember very vividly a mother on her knees praying to God. Esther knew the power of prayer, and she had her people pray for 3 days before risking her life and going before the king. She was depending on God, not her beauty, not her own cunning, but depending upon the Lord. She influenced because she depended upon God. God is answering the heartfelt prayers of mothers and wives across this land. That is why we will see modern days. Children go on for God and pray for them. Pray for your children consistently. Have a job. Influenced Hezekiah because she was not depending on herself, her position, her husband, or her beauty. She was depending on Jehovah, teaching her son to depend on him also. Could be said of Hezekiah as it was of Timothy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am sure that it is in you as well. Abijah's influence was based on her dependence on God, and that is passed on to her son. Well, not only is a woman influencing because of her dependence on God, she's also influencing through her ministry to others. The Bible describes that ministry several times in several places. One is having a reputation for good works. Brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to a good work. 1 Timothy 5:10. Women are givers. Consider the giving a wife and mother does for her family. Washing, cleaning, cooking, ironing, purchasing, feeding, dishes, diapers, dressing, I'm amazed at Martha's consistent motivation to complete repetitive tasks for the sake of her family over many years, with never a complaint, except for the fact of other times. Serving others, not a high priority in our world, but it is a high priority with God. Women are exhorted to serve according to the Word of God. We're supposed to be devoted to good works. It says in Acts 9:36, now Joppa was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. She was a real encouragement and an asset to the leaders of. We're to be zealous for good deeds, Titus 2 says, showing hospitality to strangers, we read in 1 Timothy 5. Pursuing hospitality, Romans 12. This means giving up personal time and effort for the welfare of others. Assisting those in distress, the sick, and their sorrow. Assisting the dependent relatives, the elderly, and the helpless. The above that we're talking about can be summarized by this. Give, 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 and give again. Give, give, give. Thank you, wives and mothers, for giving constantly and wholeheartedly. Turning our attention to the greatest giver and the greatest servant of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 20, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Our dear sisters are influencing from God, like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman serving her family influences them and others to serve and to love one another. They are shining lights illuminating God's priorities in our dark world. Sisters, I want to encourage you to not become discouraged in giving and serving others. Those serving are often unappreciated. I remember a child growing up, my mom served me every day. That's taken for granted. That's part of life. I wish now I could go back and say, thank you. I wish I would realize that I was younger. And as I get older, it's kind of dawned on me, and I did. But we should be thankful for those that are willing to serve and to help us out. But often you're unappreciated for serving. And one of you can become weary of serving for the wrong purpose. You're looking for appreciation, but when you're serving, often you're going to be disappointed. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tired of giving and not getting? Tired of being a doormat? Tired of being taken for granted? Look to your Savior, who gave you what no one else could give, who suffered for you what no one else could endure. Find your good, make sure that. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your uncomplaining service is valuable to God, and He will reward you. Haven't you served your Son and your God instead of self, thereby influencing an entire nation for God? Well, not only does a woman influence through her ministry, but she influences through her character. We read 1 Peter chapter 3, what we're memorizing, the first five verses, and also in 1 Timothy 3 it says, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. The character qualities described in a woman, for a woman, the Word of God, certainly are not magnified in the world, are they? It talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, a gentle and a quiet spirit. Not one that pushes herself on people, but a gentle and quiet spirit. It's an imperishable quality, one that doesn't go away, and it's precious in the sight of God. What's most important? The appreciation of man or the appreciation of God? I'm thankful that our sisters here understand that and are looking for the preciousness in the sight of God. Paul's in to be temperate, not a slanderer, faithful in all things. Brothers, think about your wives and your sisters, how faithful they are in serving you day in and day out. What an example of Christ he is. Faithful in caring for a family. With an attitude of submission, 1 Peter 3 brings out, and Ephesians 5 too. Submission is despised in the world, but it's valued by God. It's precious in God's sight. So you've got to be careful where the context of what you're going to live for is. Is it going to be the world or God? Because it's a whole different set of rules, a whole different set of priorities. God loves submission, and His Son is the very best illustration of that, of what He did on this earth. Satan hates submission to God, as evidenced by his rebellion against God. And he is leading the charge, trying to get women to not be submissive, not to influence others for their good or for God's glory, but to talk about themselves, to really exalt himself. And that's one of his top priorities in this world today, so that women do not influence their husbands and children for God. He's doing a pretty good job of it overall, isn't he? But in the world, well, there's self-love talked about. Not love for children or husband or husbands for wives and so on. It's self-love that's emphasized. Well, as Christians, we emphasize loving one another. Sarah had said it as an example for women to follow. She calls Abraham Lord. Again, not because he was deserving, because she trusted in God. True submission can only come through trusting God. Submission based on a husband's consistent godly behavior is subject to disappointment sometimes, isn't it? Submission rendered inferior or because of expectation of others is not of eternal value. Submission because trusting God in God is rewarded by God and it has eternal value. Trust in God. Esther was an excellent example of one with good character. She had the worst possible circumstances for a woman. No parents, in a foreign country, taken into the harem, we don't know how many others were there, of ungodly king to be used at his pleasure. That was not exactly what she preferred, I'm sure. But she didn't have any choice. Esther depended upon God and submitted to Mordecai's authority. And in so doing, she saved her nation and influenced the greatest Gentile nation at the time for God. Wow. God uses a woman's godly influence. And what an example she is to us. The woman's attitude of submission influences her husband and children to be submissive to God's authority and to authority put in place by him. Abijah was submissive, I'm sure, to her ungodly husband, displaying a gentle and quiet spirit as she depended upon God, loving her husband while hating the sin, influencing her son to submit to the king's authority, depending on Jehovah all the while. Abijah influenced Hezekiah greatly by her character. A woman's influence through her appearance. Appearance is extremely important to a woman. Now that's evidenced by the amount of money and time spent on cosmetics, hair, clothes, and so on. It's a big business. The goal of many women is to appear as sexy and appealing as possible, disregarding any thought of modesty or temptation they are to men. And retailers understand this and offer immodest clothing accordingly. We live in a culture where modesty is ridiculed and labeled body shaming. Can you believe it? It's ridiculous. It's all Satan has so warped things and turned things around, and our dear sisters are fighting against us. We need to pray for them accordingly. We live in a culture where modesty is ridiculed. But the Word of God exalts it. And it says the purpose of women's appearance should be to glorify God. A woman's appearance is to be modest and discreet. It says that in 1 Peter chapter 3, which we just read. I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as a proper woman, making a claim to godliness. The emphasis is not to be of clothing, costly jewelry, or whatever, designed to show off her flesh or wealth. A woman's adornment to be emphasized is her good works. And inwardly, a gentle and quiet spirit. Outwardly, her good works, not her appearance. So, the purpose of a woman's appearance is to glorify God, not self. Examples of women emphasizing their character over outward appearances. Sarah was a beautiful woman who learned to trust God, influencing her husband to trust God also. Esther was a beautiful woman whose inward adornment overshadowed her outward beauty, influencing her godly husband to save God's people. Abijah was a beautiful woman whose inward adornment became obvious through her son leading Israel to follow God, not idols. And then a woman's influence through her speech. It says in 1 Peter 3, we read, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Sometimes, no speech is best. It says, without a word. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's so easy to respond in the flesh to an angry husband, an angry child, in like manner. It's so hard to keep quiet. I understand that. There's men the same way. If you get in a verbal battle with somebody, you want to respond likewise. Just kind of the ante. But it says, by her influence, and out of her, so hard, but it can be done in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Think about your relationship with your wife. How that'd be true, haven't you? If the husband gets out of sorts over something, probably doesn't even relate to something he's done. If you respond to him in like manner, like he deserves, it doesn't help, does it? But if you respond to him kindly and godly in a way, just kind of, the argument's over. God wants to use you and how you speak to your husbands and children. Same thing is true of children. They respond to one another. Is it fair to be the object of anger you cannot control? No. But it is commendable for God. See, this is the problem with memorizing the verses that come to mind. It says in 1 Peter 3:19, for this is commendable, if because the conscience toward God, one endures treatment, suffering, wonder. God is pleased with you serving Him first and enduring some grief when you shouldn't have to. And He is pleased with that. Your gentle and loving response will make your heart the solution and not fuel the problem. Your gentle and loving response will influence your husband and children to be like Christ. And of course, woman's influence of her speech, it should be speech that is uplifting. It says in 1 Peter 2, putting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Sometimes it's easy for us to slander or say something about somebody. This flesh is something that takes us on in that area, but that isn't to be true of God. It wasn't. 1 Peter 3 says, not slanderers or busybodies, getting into everybody else's business. I like this word. This verse in Proverbs says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her each tongue. And like we said, typically, and along with the word of the Lord. Abijah had to live with an ungodly husband, returning a kind answer to harsh words, and she influenced Hezekiah to speak for God. Himself, and it turned Israel around. You know, there's new terms prevalent in our society due to changes, especially technological changes. One word, the term is gigabyte, which is a relative new term in our computer. Another example of that is the word influencer. I've heard of this. What does that mean? I've heard of influence a long time ago, but influencer typically means a person who is able to generate interest in something. For instance, a consumer product by posting about it on social media. This influences others and has become big business with influencers being paid according to their sphere of influence. The more contacts influence, the more paid that influence. Crazy idea, but it's happening. So if you got on Facebook, if you've got 10,000 followers, you can put in plug in something for Reese's peanut butter cup. You get paid. If you've got 1 million followers, you may get a whole bunch of money. Well, the new advertising. Well, the broader definition of influencer is a person who inspires or guides the action of others. The Merriam-Webster.com dictionary. God is using godly women in our society, in our assembly, to influence their husbands, their children, their friends, their contacts to follow Christ. And this is going to be any reward. He will reward you for it. God's reward for women influencing their husbands, their children, their friends, for godliness and truth. It's great on earth. It says in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband trusts in her. It says in Proverbs 31 also, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he passes her, praises her, excuse me, saying, many daughters have done noble, but you excel them all. It also says in Proverbs 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It says in Revelation 22, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'd like to substitute some words there, according to their influence. Abijah influenced her son to be godly in spite of an evil husband, an idolatrous nation, changing the entire course of Israel for God's glory. A godly woman's influence is based on her trusting God, not on her beauty or her cunning. She teaches her children to know and trust God through His Word, as exemplified in her life. She ministers to her family and others as Christ did, instead of seeking her own recognition. Submissive to authority with a gentle and quiet spirit, emphasizes the internal adornment, a meek and quiet spirit instead of external adornment. Speaks words of grace and kindness instead of gossip and anger. Works for God's sure and eternal reward rather than for the fleeting praise of Him. The sisters here at the chapel are encouragement to me. Their willingness to put family ahead of self. Their desire to spend extra time in prayer together. Their desire to put God's word in their hearts and their children. Their very willing desire to serve others again and again. Their desire to share the gospel with others. Dear sisters, your godly influence is greatly needed and appreciated by your husband, by your children, by your brothers and sisters in Christ. It glorifies God. May God bless you as you daily seek to glorify Him in your walk and influence of others to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the supreme example of one who gave and served, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And over and over and over in life, you see him thinking of others, not himself, concerned about their spiritual welfare, and reaching out to them to his own detriment. To his own detriment, to the point that he went to the cross to die for all of us. Because he cares for us, because he loves us. And Father, we thank you for sisters in this meeting who are willing to buck the flow and to trust you and to influence others, including their family, their husbands, their children, and those around them, to follow you. We pray your blessing upon them and your encouragement in them as they help this assembly to grow before you. Father, we thank you for what you give us to influence for good, our sisters in the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We are so blessed, and we thank you for influencing us to follow you. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.